Let's turn in our Bibles tonight to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. This is going to be kind of a takeoff place. But I'm going to preach on an interesting subject here. I want to say that probably in somewhere in the near future, you might think that, we have lots of preaching here and it's long and when are we going to get it over? But when I start thinking about things I need to teach, it's like there's just not enough time. You know, it's just not enough time to cover the subjects and deal with them thoroughly that we really need to deal with in our church. So I pray for me that I'll be able to, really be led of the Lord and that we'll go forward. I also want to encourage you to pray for Pastor John and his family. They're gone out of town, I think, 3 or 4 days, and they need some refreshment. And I encourage you to pray for them. And Ross's will be gone for a little bit too. Pray for them. And that each of those on our staff would be encouraged and strengthened. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. We read this morning. And we want to look at the first verse. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. Now, of course, the Bible talks about two kinds of Christians. It talks about the spiritual Christian. Talks about the carnal Christian. The carnal Christian is the one who's empowered by his own flesh. They do what they do in their own thinking and their own flesh and their own power. And they're self-centered and they're really, Bible calls the word carnal is the word fleshly. They're fleshly. You know, everything's about them. The spiritual man is the person walking in the Spirit. And it's not about them, it's about God. And there is a complete contrast. So any time in our lives that we are either walking in the flesh or we're walking in the Spirit, but as well here is talking about people who are characteristically walking in the flesh. And this is how he uses the word carnal here, people who are characteristically walking in the flesh. And he contrasts that with people who are characteristically walking in the Spirit. I'd like to take off on that and really kind of go to another subject, though. I'd like to talk about a subject I think is important. What is spirituality? What is spirituality? I remember being at an ordination, and pastor was turning over the church to this person, said, I don't know. And my thought was, this man is very intelligent, seems to have a lot of right answers, but they don't understand spirituality. They don't understand the ministry. They don't understand spiritual things. And I'd like to kind of take off on that. What is spirituality? I have four categories here. We're going to illustrate it in a number of different passages of Scripture. But spirituality is a living reality. It's a living reality of the Holy Spirit living in us and living through us. John chapter 7, that great verse. it says about the Holy Spirit. John 7, verse 39. Verse 37, the last day, the day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." This is a living reality of a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, with his Holy Spirit living in us. Spirituality is a personal relationship with God. It's a personal relationship with God. I thought of a specific verse that illustrates that. Philippians chapter 4, it says, verse 6, it says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God." It's a constant, it is a personal relationship with God. "Oh, Lord, this took place. Lord, this situation is here. Lord, Lord, I'm depending on you. Lord, I'm trusting you. Lord, thank you for this trial. Lord, I'm giving it to you." A personal relationship with God. Spirituality is a constant dependence on God. Well, it certainly is a contrast to dependence upon ourselves. But we think of so many places in the Scripture. I thought of a verse in the Bible that was illustrate that in Psalm 18 and verse 2. A great psalm, "The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler, the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised." You know, here a constant dependency upon God. You know, we can depend on nobody, in which we're really depending upon ourselves. Or we can be in a state in which we are personally, willfully, knowingly depending on God. A personal dependence on God as a characteristic of our life. Spirituality is a work of God in us. It's a work of God in us. I think of so many verses in the Scripture that illustrate that, but 1 Corinthians chapter 4, chapter 2, excuse me. I like that little phrase there. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1, "And brethren, I came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power." Here's the Apostle Paul, weak, fearful, in himself. In himself, weak, fearful, trembling. An educated man. He could have used highfalutin words, but he wasn't depending on highfalutin words. He couldn't depend upon himself because he couldn't even speak without fear and trembling. And he was dependent upon God, and God enabled him. And God worked through him. This is spirituality. I'd like to look at a number of places in scriptures that kind of illustrate these principles of what is spirituality. Now, spirituality is in contrast to a lot of things. Spirituality is certainly in contrast to carnality, which is looking at everything from the eyes of the flesh. Certainly, spirituality is in contrast to what I call mechanics. Do this, do this, do this. It's certainly in contrast to intellectualism, which says, I can figure this out. And I can depend upon my thinking and my wisdom and my understanding. That's intellectualism. Spirituality is in contrast to those things. Let's give in the Bible some great truths about spirituality. Well, let's start in some exciting places. Let's start with Matthew 13. In verse number 9, very simple truth. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now, you know, you have ears, right? The Pharisees, Sadducees, they had ears. But he said, he that hath ears, let him hear. What was he talking about? Spiritual ears. Some people, you know, everybody has ears. I mean, let's face it. I mean, everybody that was here today, if they weren't sleeping or daydreaming, now that's a spiritual problem too, sometimes. But everybody here today heard the same message. Some people didn't hear it. Some people didn't hear a lick. Some people, it made absolutely no effect upon them. Now, I have to admit, I didn't feel that was the best sermon I ever preached this morning. But as an illustration, everybody heard it, but not everybody heard it. It wasn't the words. It really wasn't the preacher. Because the perfect preacher said this. And the person who preached the perfect sermon said this. And some people heard what he said, and some people didn't hear what he said. That's the difference between, or that's the illustration of what is spirituality. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Spirituality is the ability to hear. It's a mystery, isn't it? But it's so simple. Spirituality is the ability to hear God's truth. It's the ability for the truth of God to enter into one's heart. It's the ability, it's the reality of the truth of God entering into a person's life and changing that life. That's spirituality. The Bible says in different words, "He where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." What's it saying? Well, anybody who's a preacher knows that. Anybody who's a teacher of the Bible knows that. Anybody who's witnessed understands that. You can go and witness, and you know it isn't. You know, people say, "I can't witness. I don't know what to say." It has nothing to do with knowing what to say. Very little does it have to do with knowing what to say. It's good to know what to say. But I tell you what, you can know all the answers. And you can get nowhere with some people. And some people, oh, if so-and-so would talk to him, make... No, I'm afraid not. You know, the rich man in hell said, send Lazarus. And he says, no, if they won't hear Moses and the prophets, they won't hear Lazarus even though he raised from the dead. Because it's a spiritual issue. It's a spiritual issue. Do you hear? Do you hear? Does the Spirit of God speak to you? Do you have ears to hear? That's spirituality. John chapter 16, we see a similar truth. And verse 7, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, expedient for you that I go away, for it is I, if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. He will reprove the world. The Holy Spirit is the reprover. Another word that would be would be a synonym is he is the convincer. The word to reprove is the idea of shining a light on something to fully reveal its character. And of course, the Bible tells us in 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And is profitable for what? Doctrine, for reproof. That's the word conviction. What does the Bible say in 2 Timothy chapter, I think it's chapter 4? It says, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. You say, that's the job of the Holy Spirit. That's the job of the Bible. The Bible also says it's the job of the preacher. Reprove. How does that work? It's not the preacher. He's the instrument. He that hath ears to hear, it's the Spirit of God who takes the Word of God through the Word of man of God, and it hits. The light shines. The light turns on. The person sees it. That's the ministry. That's the ministry. You can have 5 people, 10 people, 100 people hear the same thing, same atmosphere, same preacher. Some get it. Some don't get it. What's the difference? Spirit of God. That's the difference. That's what spirituality is. Spirituality is, could I say, it's the ability to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. It's the ability, the reality, it might be a better word, the reality of hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit. The spiritual person can hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. Brother Gilmore's here, and he could probably tell you, man, he's been places where he preached and wasn't a spiritual crowd. He preached the message, preached it with all his heart. No results or very little. preach the same message. Same message. Maybe that's preached 100 times. I remember the time he told me he preached a message on the eyes of the Lord are in every place. And I think it was a Christian school. And revival broke out. It hit home. And I'm sure that he preached the same message to the same type of kids and same situations, same kind of sins, same time of problems, and it did nothing. Did nothing. But here he preached in this situation. It wasn't the preacher, it wasn't the message. It was the spiritual reality of what was happening in the lives of the people. It was a reality of God working. What a great thing it is. The Holy Spirit. Spirituality is having ears to hear. The other, of course, on the other half of it, as we were explaining, is the work of the Holy Spirit of convicting, of illuminating. Oh. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5 talks about this, verse 20. And we know the Son of God has come and hath given us an understanding. And hath given us an understanding that we may know Him, that is true. And we are in Him as true, that is true, even in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. What is it? We have an understanding, and we know Him, and we are in Him, that is true, even in His Son, Jesus Christ. Of course, think about it. Jesus said, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Jesus said, My sheep hear My voice. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, let's go there. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. And here it uses a phrase called receiving the things of the Spirit of God. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. He that is spiritual judgeth all things. He that is spiritual judgeth all things. What is he saying? The spiritual person receives the truths of the Word of God. They enlighten his mind and his soul, and now he knows what is right and wrong. You know, that's the job of a judge. You know, this person comes in the court, says, you know, this person did such and such, and this guy over here says, I didn't do that. And the judge has to determine who's telling the truth. He's got to say, this person's right, this person's wrong. That's the role of a judge. You know what? The spiritual person, the Bible says, judges all things. Boy, that sure is contradiction to the false teaching of today, isn't it? That's completely against the false teaching of the day. Spiritual man judgeth all things. He is able, because of the understanding and enablement and illumination of the Holy Spirit. So here's a person. You know, they get away from God. And what do they say? Well, you know. You know, I don't really think dancing's that bad. You know, I really don't think 52-card deck is so bad. You know, I don't really think, you know, a little drink is so bad. They aren't spiritual. They aren't spiritual because they don't have ears to hear anymore. Has nothing to do with the truth. Has nothing to do with anything except them. When people get away from God, what do they say? Oh, I don't think that's wrong. Well, that's right. The carnal man, he can't judge. He can't determine what's right and wrong. His mind is sinful. It's selfish. He only judges things from his own personal standpoint. The spiritual man is one who's illuminated by the Spirit of God. The illumination of the Spirit of God. Remember a man one time, he said, "Now, Pastor, I'll join your church if you can prove to me that drinking alcoholic beverages is wrong." I'll admit, I love my beer, and his face was full of broken blood vessels, a proof of it. I love my beer, but if you can prove to me it's wrong, I'll stop and I'll join the church. Well, you know what? You couldn't give him enough verses. You couldn't give him enough verses. You just couldn't. He never would be convinced. But I remember as well, there's many other instances where this has happened, but I just remember one time I did speak at a singles retreat at Camp Joy, and some young lady came up, and I had talked about alcoholic beverage in the message, and she said something like, "I want to really know if drinking alcoholic beverage is wrong." And I gave her one verse in the Bible. Just one verse. Whoosh. Settled it. The light was there. That's all it took. One verse in the Spirit of God. And a heart that was open to the truth. The illumination of the Spirit of God. You know, that's spirituality. It's real. What is spirituality? Spirituality is dependence. It's a living reality. It's an inward work of the Spirit of God. He is the teacher. He is the convictor. You know, I'm just a man. And if you don't have a spiritual reality beyond that, that's all you hear. That's all you hear. But if you have a spiritual reality in your life, and the preacher preaches the Word of God, guess what happens? The Spirit of God says, "That is right. That is the truth." And the man is lost. And the transaction with God is at the forefront. Now, that's spirituality. Now, spirituality is also a constant dependence on God. Oh, that's so exciting. That is so exciting. This whole idea of depending on God and letting God do the work. You know, the text we looked at, 1 Corinthians 2 there, he said, you know, it wasn't me. It wasn't enticing words of man's wisdom. I was fear and trembling, but I spoke in demonstration that I was dependent upon God. A dependence on God. You know, I think one of the reasons that many people miss out on this wonderful truth is that there's a number of aspects of it, but they've never surrendered to God. They've never really surrendered to God. And you know what? They pick and choose what they're going to do for God. And they, whatever the criteria is, that's how they serve God. And they aren't really spiritual people. They really aren't spiritual people. Because they aren't depending on God when they do whatever they do. You know, a person who, I mean, you can relate to this. You can come to the church and you can be, you know, you can clean the church. Thank God for you. But you can have a bad attitude about it. Because you're not depending on God to do it. You're just doing it. And maybe that's why you don't do it. Because you can't depend on God to do it. You can clean your house, but you can't clean God's house. We are determining how we're going to serve God, when we're going to serve God, etc., etc. But what is spirituality? Spirituality is getting our strength from God. That's what it is. Getting our strength from God. Now we know the famous passage of Scripture, Isaiah chapter 40. And this is a good one because it deals with two realms. Isaiah 40:28. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint. And to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary. And the young men shall utterly fall. Oh, I can't do this. I'm tired. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. They tell the story of Jonathan Edwards. I think I'm getting it right. Jonathan Edwards was very ill. And his last sermon, they had to literally help him up to the platform. He was very ill. He was very weak. And they had to help him to the platform. He preached the message. As he preached the message, the Spirit of God came upon him, and he preached with unction, and he preached with power. You'd never know that he was so ill. And he preached the message in dependence upon the Holy Spirit. He finished the message. Went to wherever he was staying and died. Now, two things. One, he didn't do it in his strength. Number two, how thrilling. How thrilling to have God do it. How thrilling to know it's God that's doing it. And oftentimes, we never get to that place. Because we decide we're going to obey God when we want to. We don't decide we're going to obey God because God said it in the Bible. We decide we're going to obey God when we want to. See, that's not spirituality. Spirituality is God said it. I need to obey it. You know, carnality is, God said it, and I'm going to wait till I feel like doing it. That's the flesh. You know what spirituality is? God said it. And although it seems impossible and beyond me, I'm going to submit to God. And now I'm going to depend upon Him to enable me. Dependence on God. How much of Christianity is figuring it out? How much of Christianity is feelings? How much of Christianity is all this stuff, but isn't the Spirit of God? Spirituality is dependence, living and experience, living in constant dependence on God. We need to go to the place that, get to the place where we have to do something that's more than us. Or we have to get to the place where we're not only going to do, maybe we're going to do something, but we're going to do something in a way that's beyond us. Maybe we can do something physically and we have the ability, but we don't have the ability to do it with a cheerful spirit. Now we're depending upon God to do something in us. We're depending on God to do something in us that isn't us. Dependence on God. I am convinced that whether it's obedience or whether it's surrendering our lives to the Lord, whether it's an adult that has gotten stuck in a rut and isn't going forward, it's because we have determined how far we're going to go. We have determined that we're not going to get out of our comfort zone. We are determined that we are not going to put ourselves in a place of vulnerability where only God can do it. You know what I mean? You ever done this? Say, you know what? I'm not going to pray specifically, because if I pray specifically, that puts me on the spot. So I'm just going to pray generally. You know what I'm saying? Oh, that gets us off the hook, doesn't it? Oh, we can do fine if we just pray generally. You know, but we pray specifically? Wow. Pray specifically, guess what? Now, we're revealing a living relationship with God. Oh, you know what? I had to get that prayer request from God. Now, I have to take that prayer request, that specific prayer request, and I have to decide that I'm going to trust God and pray it. Now, I'm putting myself on the line because I can't answer it. Only God can. You see, this state of dependence on God, that's spirituality. This relationship with God. Colossians 3, a little illustration here as well. And verse 15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you are called in one body, and ye are and be ye thankful. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Well, think about it in two different ways. What is spirituality? Spirituality is, the Bible says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 4:13. You know what grieving the Holy Spirit is? I liken that to kind of like the yellow light. Kind of the warning light. You know, the Holy Spirit says, oh, you shouldn't have done that. You shouldn't have said that. Why did you do that? He's grieved. And you respond. Lord, forgive me. Lord, forgive me. Lord, forgive me. That's spirituality. But you know, the Bible talks about something else. It talks about quenching. 1 Thessalonians 5, it says, quench not the Spirit. You know what quenching the Spirit is? Quenching the Spirit is no. No. And guess what? Put out the fire. Put out the fire. I mean, yesterday, I don't know if it was, we had a fire going down the house. And we start in the morning, and everything was real wet. And I says, okay, it won't take off. You know, we can start this fire. I completely forgot about it. But this morning, I looked at that fire pit. And, you know, there was a ring where everything was burned out. And then, but everything else, I mean, it was, the fire was out, that rain. Put it out. It wasn't going to restart. No way, it was out. It had, the water had quenched it. Now that's carnality. That's carnality. No. 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 I'm not going to listen to that. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to hear it. I'm not going any further. I'm not going to surrender. Sometimes we'll call it rebellion, stubbornness. You know, the Bible talks a lot about being stubborn with God. But you know what? Quenching is carnality. We can fail in our spirituality, but we still have a sense of the Spirit of God, and He's grieved. And we say, Father, forgive me. There's a big difference between spirituality and carnality, isn't there? Answered prayer. Living by answered prayer. Some of these overlap, but turn with me to Acts chapter 4. Sometimes we aren't too spiritual. We need to be spiritual people. We need to be a people characterized by the fact that we are spiritual people. And like I said, Brother Gilmore, I'm sure he goes to churches, and man, these people are spiritual. They listen. They're ready to hear. They have a living relationship with God. Acts chapter 4, they were told. They were told. Not to, again, verse 18, they called on them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. Nope! Don't you dare do it. Religious leaders said it. Chosen of God. Don't say it. Don't preach the Bible. Don't witness. Verse 29, and now they prayed, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. Now they just killed Jesus, put him to the cross, killed him. Now he says, don't you do it. They said, Lord, give us boldness. Give us power to do your work. God enabled them. God also answered their prayer. But notice what I wanted to get to at first was, what was their first response? Their first response was prayer. Went to God. God, you heard what they said. And we're trembling. But Lord, we're going to do it. Lord, enable us. Give us boldness. And this relationship, Lord, okay, Lord. Oh, Lord, you know I am a big chicken. You know, Lord, my heart's cold today. But there's souls out here. Lord, I need to talk to them. Lord, okay, Lord, I'm trusting you to witness. Lord, put someone across my path. Give me the words. I don't know what to say. Prayer. The response to God. Not a prayer of complaining and griping and resisting, but a prayer of submission, a prayer of dependence, a prayer of trusting Him. Wow. Spirituality is that great work of God in our lives. It's God's work. I like Romans 8. The Spirit is life. Isn't that great? Holy Spirit is life. Holy Spirit is transforming. Takes the Word of God, takes the truth of the Word of God, causes us to turn to Him in dependence, causes us to look to Him, to change our lives. You know, it's really, why do we make it so difficult? It's not difficult. It's a real living relationship with God. Spirituality. What does it mean to be a spiritual people? What does it mean? What is spirituality? What is in contrast to carnality? Christian can be carnal. Christian can be spiritual. Carnal Christian is walking in the flesh, depending on flesh, on the flesh, looking at things from the flesh, relying upon the flesh, reacting in the flesh. Spirituality is a wonderful thing. It's something that's beyond us. It's the work of God. It's a living reality of God working in our life and living in our life. It's that constant depending upon Him in everything. I talked to someone today and he said, the sermon I heard this morning was on the feeding of the 5,000. And he says, you know what I got out of that sermon? He said the sermon told me that I can't do it, but God can. I can't do it, but God can. You know, spirituality is saying, you know, I can't do this, but God can. Carnality is saying, I can't do it, and so forget it. Spirituality is saying, you know, God told me to do this, and I can't do it. But I'm not only going to depend upon Him to do it, but I'm going to expect Him to do it. And spirituality has the blessing of, just like the disciples, here's five loaves, two fishes, that's all we have. Oh, man. Fed 5,000, 12 baskets were left over because God did it. Simple little truth that I think is good for us to think about tomorrow. How spiritual are we going to be? It's a good question, right? How spiritual are we going to be tomorrow? We're going to start the day, you know, depending on upon ourselves. We're going to start the day attempting nothing for God, so we don't need God. You know, how are we going to live tomorrow? What about next Sunday? When you come to church, how are we going to come to church? You know, I mean, are we even going to come to church? Going to come to church? We really come to have a relationship with God? God, speak to my heart. Lord, I'm not saying no, Lord. No way. I'm not saying no. No roadblocks here, Lord. I'm not going to church in the flesh. Lord, I'm coming to listen. We read our Bibles. You know, we can read our Bible mechanically, can't we? We can read it and we can get the facts out of there and we can write this and we can write that, but we never really met God. We never surrendered to God. We never got on His ground. We never really heard the Spirit of God. We never were transformed by what we read. God didn't do anything. The Corinthian people, many of them, had become characteristically carnal. God's will is that we become characteristically spiritual. That's God's will. And perhaps tonight need to do a little evaluation. Maybe honest with yourself. Am I characteristically fit what the Bible says? Carnal? Or do I fit what the Bible says? Truly spiritual. Walking with God. You know, I have found in His grace that the more you have to do something that's beyond you, the more you need God. And the greatest delight of life is seeing God work. Whatever it is. And, you know, I always call my wife an AP. You know what an AP is? Every pastor's wife has to be an AP, apple polisher. Because you've got to have a wife that encourages you. And my wife is a great encourager. And she'll say, oh, that was a great message. And I say, oh, man. And then she'll say, oh, that was good. And I know inside, I says, you know, you don't know how I struggled over that sermon. You don't know how I prayed. Said, oh, Lord, how am I going to put this together? Lord, what's here? How can I do it? What's the truth that you want me to give? How can I put it on the plate where it's understandable. And the Lord somehow enables me. And after it's all over, I says, oh, that was, praise the Lord, that wasn't me. That was the Lord. He did it. I never would have come up with that. But I had to. I had a job to do. And I had to meet with God. I had to get something from God. I had to get His work in my life. Maybe for some of you, the best thing you can do is to put your life on the line where you have to have God. And you can't do it because it's something beyond your ability. It's maybe a commitment beyond your physical comfort zone or spiritual comfort zone. You need to put yourself in a place where, you know, we're in that place we can either be complainers, murmurers, gripers, or we can be spiritually minded and trust God and have Him do a miracle. Right? You know what? Trusting God and have Him do a miracle, that's exciting. Amen? That's what it's all about. Let's pray as we close. Father, we thank You for the Word of God tonight, and we thank You for this very simple truth of what it means, Lord, to be a spiritual person. And Lord, we know that we fail over and over and over and over. But we also recognize, Lord, it's just a joy to have You do the work in our life. It's a joy to have Your Holy Spirit. It's a wonder for You how You enable us. How You lead us, how You work, Lord, is just a wonder when we depend upon You and we surrender whatever it is to You. And Lord, I pray that we would be encouraged tonight to look to You. Even as we face tomorrow and all the duties, the expectations of tomorrow, whether it be what we do in our job or what we do as a person for You, our witnessing, our desire, our surrender to whatever it is, Lord, I pray that we would be spiritual people and that we would be encouraged in that area. And Lord, help us to identify carnality. And Lord, we know that we can be carnal many times, but help us, Lord, and work in hearts, Lord, that have become characteristically carnal. And Lord, I pray that You will give them grace tonight to come to the place where they will admit it and see that their life is revolving around themselves, and even their service for You has become self-centered and done in the flesh. And they have lost, Lord, that joy of Your enablement and the joy of seeing You work. And so, Lord, work in our midst, I pray. While our heads are bowed and eyes closed, You say, Pastor, you know what? I used to be spiritual. I used to be spiritual. I used to hear the voice of God. I used to depend upon Him. I used to walk with Him daily. I used to, attempt to do great things for Him. I used to come to church and get something out of the messages on a regular basis. But, you know, I don't get much now. I don't get much now. Maybe you've quenched the Spirit of God and His voice is very, very low. Maybe you become just self-centered and everything is viewed through yourself, through your and how it affects you rather than God's glory. You say, you know, God has spoken to me. I've lost that spiritual walk with God in which He is leading me and enabling me. He is illuminating me. He's convicting me. I sense His grieving. I've lost that. And I need to get back to God. I need to get back to that spirituality that I once had. I say, Pastor, pray for me. God did speak to my heart tonight. Thank God for that. Anyone here tonight, say, that's me. That's where I need to be. Okay? All right? Some? Okay? Others? Okay? Others? Okay? Do you have ears to hear tonight? Say, God spoke in my heart. I'm fighting the Lord. I'm fighting the Lord. I'm fighting the truth. But God's trying to speak to your heart. Say, Pastor, pray for me. That's me. I've lost that spiritual walk with God. I've lost that spirituality. Perhaps you're here tonight and you say, you know, God spoke in my heart. That I need to put myself in a place where I obey God, surrender to God, so I need Him. And that will help me in my walk with God. Maybe it is that surrender to being a witness. Maybe it's that surrender in some area of obedience. Maybe it is a young person just saying, you know what, I'm going to give my life to God and let Him have my life. You say, you know, I need to let God give my life to the Lord in such a way that I need Him. I need Him. I need His power. I need His strength. I need His enablement. And you've been guarding yourself against that spot and you've been losing the blessing. Say, you know what? I need to surrender to the Lord. I need to surrender to serve Him. I need to surrender my abilities, my talents. I need to surrender to the will of God rather than resisting it. And you're here tonight and you think, well, I can't serve God. Oh, yes, you can. With God's help, you can serve God. And God has spoken to your heart. Say, yes, that's it. I need surrender in my life. Surrender is the key. And say, Pastor, pray for me. God's speaking to me about surrendering to Him. Okay? All right? Another? Amen. Praise the Lord. God's speaking to me about surrender. Okay? Anyone else? God is speaking to you about surrender. Lord, now thank You for Your people desiring, hungering to meet You, to walk with You. Lord, some important decisions tonight. I pray that this would be a great, whether how big or small the decision is, it would be a wonderful turning in their life, in that walk, that wonderful walk with God. And Lord, for others who may yet need to make an important analysis of their life, I pray that in Your grace, Lord, that You will continue to work, that something that's said tonight, Your Holy Spirit would use it to bring the victory and bring back that understanding of that what it is to really have a spiritual relationship with You. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.